Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, Prayer Principles. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Would you go with me to James, please, the fifth chapter, James chapter 5. James 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him do what? Pray. Ask other people to pray? No. Do what? Pray. Let him pray. You going through some rough stuff? Pray. Don't be quick to ask other people to pray for you when you can pray for something about yourself. You know, we as a church, we pray. We come here on Wednesday night. We pray for our president. We pray for our troops. And we pray for changes in the government. And then we pray for things about the church. But we're not here to pray about our individual things. Right? I lift up my tail. You know what we're believing for on the church. You know, we're believing to knock this out on this church property. I don't tell you what I'm believing for personally. Did you hear me? He goes on to talk about, though, are you merry, sing psalms. And then he says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. There is a time for other people to pray for you. The implication here is those that are weak. The implication is people that are at a place where they can't really pray for themselves. Well, thank God, if you get to a place where you're real weak and you're really going through some stuff, other people can help you. And that is right to do that. But don't just always be trying to put the responsibility for your praying off on some other people. You know, their whole churches, they think that's what they hired the pastor for. To do their praying for them. And to do their hearing from God for them. Certainly not. Certainly not. No, you must pray for yourself. Hear from God for yourself. And he went on to say, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Or as the Amplified talks about, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. He gives the example of Elijah, a man subject to like passions as we are, verse 17. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer, believing prayer, sincere, earnest prayer, changed the atmosphere, changed the cycles of the earth. Can earnest prayer and faith prayer affect changes in the earth today? Yes, absolutely, that's what he's telling us. One man, a man just like us. I mean, if you read Elijah's story, you'll find out, man, he had a mountaintop experience with God. I mean, he called fire down, had a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And the next thing you know, he's running for his life from Jezebel. Got up under a tree and said, well, Lord, just take me. I'm the only one left. A man of like passions and feelings and emotions like us. Sometimes people, you know, they read that and say, well, you know, the Amplified says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man avails much. And people think, well, who would that be? And the devil say, well, not you. I understand that's the way the devil always operates. The prayer of a righteous man, oh yeah, the prayer of a righteous man could change things in the earth. But who might that be? This righteous man or woman that we could find. People have the idea, well, maybe it's somebody, you know, like Billy Graham, or maybe it's Oral Roberts, or maybe somebody like that. But the devil will say, yeah, but not you. You're not righteous. Well, what makes you righteous? See, I mean, that's a whole other subject there. You know, our works can never make us righteous. So it's not how good of a Christian you've been that makes you righteous. It's the work of Jesus. He paid the price. He has made us righteous with His righteousness, and we receive that by our faith. Amen. So if you've made mistakes, you confess them, you repent, and if you're clean, you're clean. Amen. Sure, you've made mistakes. So have I. So did Elijah. That's what he's saying. A man subject to like passions as us. But he prayed, and God heard, and the earth was changed. Everybody say, I can pray.
I can pray.
The prayer of a righteous man. I can pray. God will hear. Things will be changed. Amen. So we have been studying for some weeks now on the subject of prayer and prayer principles. And we believe that this is the leading of the Lord, and it is key in us stepping up and developing to the next place as a church. How many believe a praying church is important? But I'll just tell you, you know, in my few years of experience in walking with the Lord, I have seen a lot of wasted motion called prayer. Just because you say I'm praying doesn't mean you are. Just because you spend a lot of time doing something doesn't mean it's effective. And I think it's quite obvious that what a lot of people call praying is not effective. They pray, like they say, but they're not getting results. What is there to show for it? What is happening? What is changing? No, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man does what? It avails much. Does it make a difference? Yes, it does. It makes tremendous power available. Amen. Things are changed. That's the kind of praying I'm interested in. How about you? You pray and things happen. You pray and things change. And if we're praying in a way we shouldn't be praying, then let's quit praying that way. Change. And so that's why we're taking the time and making the effort to talk about how to pray. And we're going one by one and looking in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and seeing what Jesus said about how to pray, because He's the best prayer that ever prayed. Amen. Right? He got results every time. How many believe Jesus never prayed a prayer that He didn't get an answer? But I mean, every prayer He ever prayed, He got answered. Yes. Right? Yeah. Well, that's who I want to follow. Somebody who knows how to pray and get results. You know, when you pray and don't get results, it hurts your faith. Doesn't it? Or when you make confessions and they don't come to pass, it hurts your faith. And if you just keep doing that and just keep doing that, and the last 50 times that you made a proclamation, nothing happened. The last 75 times that you prayed, nothing that you could tell happened. Well, what happens to your expectation the next time? Well, the last 50 times nothing happened. Why would you expect it to happen this time? So you get to the place where you don't even expect. And what happens, people get to the place where they quit praying. They just quit. Why do it? Doesn't do any good. And you got all kind of people in this city. They're not in church today. They don't pray. Why? They think, what good does it do? Well, how many can testify it does do good? Yes. That you can testify you have prayed and seen results. Yes. Amen. You have confessed and saw it come to pass. I have too. We're going to stay with it. Amen. Amen. The Lord said this to me some years ago. I don't mean to hurt an audible voice, but distinctly inside me. He said to me, Keith, He said, if you'll be more selective, you'll be more effective. Be more selective about what you pray. Be more selective about what you say with your confession. Some people have the idea, well, quantity is the key. Let's just throw a bunch of confessions out there and hope some of them hit. Quantity. Let's just throw a bunch. Let's get everybody praying and throw a bunch of prayer out there and we'll hope some of it hooks. No. It's not in quantity. It's in quality. Before you pray something, you make sure that you got a right to pray it. You make sure that you got something to stand on to believe for that to come to pass. Did you hear me? Before you make your confession, you look at this thing. Do I have a right to claim this? Am I ready to stand as long as it takes for it to come to pass? It's every prayer should be a commitment. Every faith confession should be a commitment. Elsewise, you shouldn't do it to start with. So we have been going through, in the words of Jesus, we said, what is prayer? And we gave you the answer, prayer is communing with God. Communion with God. Or that word's translated fellowship. Fellowshipping with God. And we said, how do we pray? Well, we're taught to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We went through a lot of things about what you don't do. Jesus warned us about vain repetitions, saying the same thing over and over and over again, same phrases, mindlessly, and calling it prayer. We talked about not praying to statues, not praying to pictures, counting beads or spinning wheels is not prayer. We said that there's nowhere in the New Testament where we're taught to pray to Mary or any of the saints or Peter or John or Saint Christopher. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Very important. And if you say, well, I've always done differently. Well, what are you basing it on? What scripture are you basing it on? Or is it just men's ideas? Very important that we have scripture for what we do. Elsewise, it's just somebody's idea. Right? And so, we begin to go through what Jesus said about prayer. One of the first things that he said was, when you pray, to pray for those who despitefully use you. We pray to love. God is love. We're to pray in love. The Bible said in Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so your Father in heaven would forgive you. See, our ability to come before God and Him hear us is not based on our holiness and righteousness we've achieved through good works and through living a certain perfect way. It's because of Jesus. And our faith works by love. He said if we don't forgive others, He doesn't forgive us. Well, if we're not forgiven, then we don't have access to pray. We can't pray the prayer of a righteous man if we're not forgiven. So it is essential that when we pray, we're not holding grudges against anybody. We are not holding unforgiveness against anybody. And it's got nothing to do with how you feel now. You might say, well, I've tried to forgive them. I've forgiven them 100 times. But I just get to thinking about what that old sorry so-and-so did to me. And it just goes all over me. And I just can't stand it. Well, see, you think forgiveness is based on feeling. It's not. It's by faith.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series Prayer Principles, you may call More Life Ministries at 941-702-7390. That's 941-702-7390. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Branson, Missouri on Monday, October 5th, as we begin our week of increase. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.